B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We don't need roads.
Speaking of not needing roads, have you guys seen the video of the car that flies through an intersection and then obviously hits a pole and knocks out the power?
Yes.
And they've now put it to the music for Back to the Future.
Right. The score.
Great. Yeah, it's good. We'll show it to you during a break. Okay. So you'll get a good chuckle out of it.
Then we can do the monkeys and the raccoon. I really like that one.
We know you like that one.
August 19th, big day in show history.
Why?
Is it?
Well, it was on this date in 2016, 4 years ago, that Zoe heard the brand new breaking news sounder for the first time.
Oh, I love breaking news.
That's right. You hear it all the time now, but this is what it sounded like when it first happened.
Shut the hell up! Now, are you kidding me? You did this, didn't you? Bang, bang, bang. Are you serious? Love it.
Who's giggling?
We need to break news every day. Somebody do something. Someone break a leg. Turn it up. I love breaking news. Woo! Wow. What are we working in Miami?
Unreal. How excited you were.
We had that dry, like, news.
I love breaking news.
We gave it some. What does it sound like, Tom? Like our breaking news.
Do we remember the old one?
I do.
I think remember. Oh, yeah. Now I remember.
We need to break news every day.
No, not that.
I don't remember the old one.
Was that Sosie giggling? Was I hosting with Sosie?
I don't know.
Sarge was in there.
And that wasn't Sarge giggling.
Maybe. Yeah, that was Sarge.
of course it is.
That's Sarge.
Fake laugh, Sarge. Yes.
Well, speaking of Sarge, in 2017, something about August 19th, Sarge is in. And in 2017, he had a hot baseball take.
No. This can't be good.
Before we do some football here, have you guys ever watched this Little League World Series?
This is baseball.
Hold on a second. So this is the Zoe and Sarge show on this date?
This couldn't have been. I would not do this for 4 hours.
Have you guys ever watched the Little League World Series?
Flynn's in here.
Flynn's in. That's why he's talking.
Zoe, Flynn,
Flynn's
Sarge.
Just staring at the wall. Little League World Series?
This is baseball.
What do you mean this is baseball?
None of this crybaby stuff with the major leaguers. Oh, this is real baseball.
Like authentic baseball?
Yep.
Old school, huh?
Kids care about it.
More, please.
Passion. None of this stuff where, you know, I'm Mr. Big Time. They're playing for the love of the game. They care about it. They have passion.
I've never heard more.
We don't think baseball major leaguers have a little passion.
I think the Red Sox are a bunch of crybabies.
Well, they could be, but look, the guy running. Oh, did he get safe here? But they do make stupid mistakes.
I'm just wondering how this went. This is baseball.
this is real baseball.
Meaning the Sandlot. It's baseball. That's original. It's what it's meant to be.
It's baseball.
Just kids out having fun.
There's none of this commercial stuff in between.
No, it looks
breaks.
Pretty commercialized.
You keep going. It's a quick game.
No, there's some patches
Six
on
innings,
their shirts.
That's baseball. I love it. Bring it on.
Imagine if a morning drive. Let's say Sarge is hosting every day by himself.
I understand his point. He's just not describing it well. You know, this is baseball in its purest form. People that really care about it simply because they love the game.
Kids
and that's
crying.
Why they're there and doing it because they just love the game.
It's the way it started, too. You thought he was going to have something, you know, a bit more or a bit more eloquent about it. But when it starts off like this.
You guys ever watch this Little League
baseball.
World Series?
This is baseball.
What do you mean this is baseball? Game before.
What I should say is, Zoe, I really enjoy the Little League World Series because everyone who's playing in this, they playing just because they love baseball.
He sounds angry about
it.
Little Leaguers cry all the time.
No kidding. But
they're the biggest crybabies in the sport.
Yeah, but it means something to them. And they lose. They don't like to lose.
Right.
You get to this point.
Love seeing that, you know, there are kids that have learned the importance of playing as a team.
Right.
And, you know,
you understand what losing feels like. You don't want to feel that again.
They're competing their ass off out there, and it's really great to see these every game is intense.
So good for
unlike
those coaches.
Major League regular season where things are slow and guys just sort of go at their own pace. No, this is great. You know, there's a lot of things to like about it.
This is so great.
Real baseball.
Like authentic baseball.
Yep.
Old school. Huh?
Kids care about it.
More, please.
Passion. None of this stuff where...
That stuff. It's so great for those
Words,
little league coaches.
Baseball.
Those little league coaches, you got 12 to 15 little kids crying everywhere, and you get to get them in a private room. So
well, little league is mostly 11 and 12 year olds on those teams.
Feel what it feels like right now. You ever went there and feeling back
have
again?
Passion.
Okay. All right.
They have passion.
You may have taken issue with what Sarge said there, but in 2018, when he was in once again.
Oh, jeez.
There was a caller who took issue with Sarge.
Oh, God.
Is it John?
30 seconds on the button. We now go to Pat in New Hampshire. Wants to talk about Tiger and Phil. Go ahead, Pat.
What type of lunatic fringe are you talking about with an idiot that loves wrestling as a 35-year-old adult man?
So what? What's so bad about that?
Yeah.
What's so bad about that? Does that bother you?
It bothers me that you
then worry about your own life, dude, okay? Go cut your grass, do your laundry, do what you got to do. Don't worry about my stuff, okay?
Listen, go
to the call. What does he have? What does he have, Tiger and Phil? Let's hear it.
He likes coming to calls.
What the hell?
What
is with always the put, like the go cut your grass,
do your laundry,
man? Because I don't have a yard.
What is that?
I don't have a yard.
Do what you got to do.
Do what you gotta do.
He had another one that day.
Oh, like that?
Didn't you hear his mom in the background say, "Hey, Pat, Meatloaf's coming to the basement for you, pal."
Oh, God. Okay.
Don't ever play that.
Don't do that to him.
Okay, go cut your grass.
Meatloaf's coming to the basement,
Didn't you hear
pal?
His mom in the background say, "Hey, Pat, Meatloaf's coming to the basement for you, pal."
Go change your oil.
What?
I love the passion, though.
I love when he gets angry.
Yeah. So very Sarge heavy in this Dayton show history.
There's some real insecurities there that need to be addressed.
You're gonna find him. He's gonna be on a 6 o'clock news one day. He's gonna be the lead story.
What?
Keep messing with him. Worry about your own life, dude. Okay, go cut your grass, do your laundry, what you gotta do.
The caller didn't even know how to respond. Like, what?
Do what? I will do those things.
Water your flowers. All right.
I got a brown spot in my yard. I stood there and watered it for an hour yesterday because you got to get the water on because you just can't turn the one zone on because it doesn't hit it where you want to hit it. And me and my kid were standing out there watering it.
For an hour?
Yeah.
In a long time.
Soak that sucker. You got to get it back, man. You got to drench it.
He's got a well. It's okay.
You got a well.
Found the old breaking news for Zoe, by the way.
Oh, good.
Excellent. Let's hear it.
From Boston's home for sports, this is Breaking News, powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Serious, dum 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 dum. Serious, dum dum. Serious, Walter Cronkite. Dum 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 dum. Serious, dum. Walter Cronkite. Yeah.
Name another newscaster.
Boy, we could wear something out, boy. Whew, are we good at that? We could kill songs and intros. And oh my God.
Can we hear the new one, T-Bone?
That was amazing.
Sorry.
Wow, you hear it enough? If it gets the
that
same...
was awesome. 10 years
I was going to tell you, that was awesome. Thank you.
I just wanted to see if we get the same reaction now. But, you know, when he's got the old one fresh in his mind. Now we play the new one. See if you snap out to it.
This is Breaking Sports News.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That's where I lost it. How much better is that? That says, we're here to give you something, man.
We need to break news every day.
And now it's a party. That's how important this
breaking
is.
Breaking news
Somebody
party.
Do something.
Like if you're DJ, already know, being a Vegas scene DJ, and then whoosh, you spin it, and bounce, turn, and the lights go, and it foam everywhere.
Someone break a leg.
Somebody get killed. Let's go.
Turn up.
Someone get arrested.
I love breaking news.
When you go from that Walter Cronkite-esque thing to that.
I don't think they use that for Walter Cronkite.
No, it's like news ticker. Yeah, no, it's I'm typing news. AP report. It's, no, Liven it up. Yeah, liven it up. Motorboat that son of a bitch.
All right.
Right.
We got anything else, or is that it?
That's it.
What a day. What a day.
Wow. A lot of good things on this day.
And the rewind machine there.
Go cut your grass, pal.
Go cut your grass. The meatloaf.
Yeah.
Do your laundry.
What are you doing?
Give me the meatloaf.
Do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do.
Got to do.
Didn't you hear his mom in the background say, "Hey, Pat, meatloaf's coming to the basement for you, pal."
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We just let it hang.
Oh. The situation took care of itself.
Yeah, when you...
He finished up with that caller, and they both, you know, they parted as friends.
You and I did a good job laying out there. Like,
and no one ever gave him a hard time ever again.
No.
Sure didn't. Yeah, get back on air, too.
If you don't take the bait, you know, you don't rise to the occasion, you get left alone.
Hey, pal, if you can't take the heat, do what they say. You got to get out of that kitchen, buddy.
That's right.
Don't worry about my
listen,
stuff, okay?
Listen,
go to the call. What does he have? What does he have, Tiger and Phil? Let's hear it.
Apparently, Gunnar Olszewski is doing his Zoom right now.
Oh.
With the media.
Oh.
And according to Alex Barth, our show audio was coming through in the background on the video.
Oh, my God. Again.
You're obsessed with us now. Every channel, every day, like, every room.
They have us on, or we're accidentally feeding
or
into
someone,
the Zoom.
Or someone who's a member of the media left, you know, their line open, and they have us on.
Or, well, thank you for listening and watching.
We appreciate it. On somewhere.
Numbers indicate it. We're good. Thanks.
We're very popular in that.
We are popular.
Building at One Patriot Place.
Jesus.
We're very popular.
I love breaking news. Let's see if I got any texts about the last segment.
Let's find
is the
out.
Last segment okay with everybody?
Yeah,
there?
No
okay.
Kidding.
There was a little breaking news in Hardy's headline.
Well, there was. Well, there is news on the Robert Kraft case. And that is, the appeals court has ruled that the video is inadmissible because the surveillance, and this is their quote, was extreme.
Yeah. Right. Violated the Fourth Amendment.
So that's a legal win.
It's a big one there.
For Robert Kraft and others in that case in Florida. 617-779-0985 is the phone number for you. We started the day talking about the possibility of the Patriots using two quarterbacks. That is still very much at the forefront. Your Red Sox thoughts as well. Much more to get to today here on Zolak and Bertrand.
All righty.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This could be the new breaking news sounder, too. You hear that come in and boom, and then Hardy goes in with the breaking news like, hey, welcome to Miami.
Oh, boo. You can ring my bell.
That's a one-hit wonder. Ring my bell. Anita Ward, I believe. If you want to Google that. If you want to check on that one. A good mashup there.
A handwritten note here.
What's the note say? We just got our mail was just brought in and delivered. I never get any good mail here.
Very angry with the show.
I always get junk. All my mail here is junk mail. What?
That's one of those freedom of speech flag things, and we got on Drew Brees that day for kind of flipping and not flipping, and what you really
wait,
thinking?
A little behind on that. That was months ago.
Yeah, I mean, this might have been
down there. Who knows how long it was down there.
It looks like it's written by an elderly man because it's like a postcard he sent. But
that's all right.
Listen to our show every day.
I see why it was delayed. He didn't have the zip code.
Very disappointed in us and not hitting on those issues a little bit more. And
what's his gripe?
He heard a rabble-rousing, which is a cynical ratings grab for us, our take on that at the beginning of the show. I don't think we kind of avoided that. We didn't spend a lot of time on that.
We spent maybe a day on that stuff.
We spent so much time on the flag kneeling and that years ago that it's really not – what more can you say about it, really?
Why is he upset with us?
Because he tunes in for hot takes right there at the beginning of the show.
He should send a postcard to Drew Brees if he's so pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Drew, I don't know.
Oh, man, he just on and on. Yeah, about this constitutional right. I'm not doing it. Whether I believe him or not, I'm not doing it.
You got junk mail, too.
Yeah. I get crazy-ass junk mail. Get one of those Be Better letters. I got to be better tomorrow, Hardy.
617-779-0985. I want to get to this call. Connor in the car has been hanging on. What's up, Connor?
Connor. Sarah Connor.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
You're like Michael Scott. You really are.
I love it.
Just wanted to talk about what that guy was saying a little earlier about how the Red Sox are going to suck for the next few seasons or so. And what you guys were talking about, Xander. I mean, first off, in the next, hopefully by next year, E-Rod and Sale should, you know, with a little luck, be good to go. And, you know, if you have those two back with Eovaldi, Eovaldi's halfway good with a little bit of bullpen help, then we should be fine.
Yeah, Eovaldi's a 3 or 4. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think saying that they're going to suck for 3 whole more seasons is a little extreme. And then as far as, like, maybe trading Xander by the deadline, it makes me think about, like, what we should have done with Mookie maybe a season or two ago. But the main difference between the two is I really, really believe that Mookie did not want to stay no matter what kind of money we gave him. I think Xander does want to stay. I think he really likes it here in Boston. And I think Mookie would have been worth a lot more than what we could get for Xander now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But on this 3-year thing, what if this is ultimately the plan that we're just going to try and field good teams, good value out there with players, and we're not going to do the superstar route that Dave Dombrowski went. We're just going to go out and buy players. Just because we have money doesn't mean we're going to go out and buy players.
Well, then they're idiots.
Thank you.
But they've never done that.
I know that, but...
Okay, like, that needs to be... We're all pissed at John Henry because he cares about the luxury tax and cares about resetting it and not going over, but right? They've never not spent their money. Like, they've never gone into a downturn where they say, nope, not spending.
What if he says to them, I got 4 world championships and I'm fully invested in the soccer in Liverpool now.
That doesn't justify trading.
No, I understand it. But say if he tells that, I'm tired of the spending. I want to cut spending in the baseball part of it. We're going to focus on Fenway Sports Group more. You come in and do things the way you've done it down Tampa, field a competitive team, and we'll try to do that every year. I got 4 rings. We're good.
They have had.
Could you imagine that?
Back-to-back sub-500 seasons twice in the ownership of John Henry.
Okay.
Excuse me, it's only happened once, 2 seasons back to back. One time in 20 years now of owning the team, or 18 years, what year was it? 01 was his first year. They've had records of below 500 in back to back seasons exactly one time. And it was after winning the World Series. 14 and 15 were back to back last place finishes. And the records were not god awful. 71 and 91. 78 and 84. Bad, bad seasons by Red Sox standards, by John Henry ownership standards. And then, following the back-to-back years, they had 3 straight years of 90 wins or more, all with playoff appearances, capped with a World Series win in 2018. Like, they don't go into 3-year stretches where they suck. They don't do that. And this is year 2 of sucking, by the way. Last year was a third place finish, but they still had 84 wins. They weren't unwatchable. Now they've got a really bad year on their hands.
Yeah.
They're trying to reset. They're going to have money to spend. They're not going to suck like this next year. They're not. It will not happen.
Yeah, this is...
They have too many.
It's a weird year. It's a short year, but it's by any measure, you don't give them any breaks because of the situation. They're really, really bad. I don't think there's any way they can be this bad again next year. There's still too much talent on the team. I mean, they still have enough in their lineup to where they can't be this bad again next year.
I think E-Rod coming back, assuming his health, and that's a big assumption because we just don't know. That would be good for them. Sale, I think it's pushing it. Like,
Sale's pushing Sale's it. I don't
gonna,
trust Sale.
Sale could get back at some point next season, but it's not going to be out of the gate.
Right.
It would be late season.
He doesn't seem like an out-of-the-gate guy, especially coming off what he's going to come off. I would expect more out of E-Rod. I'm with you on that. And I think they have too many people in the higher-ups.
Hello.
The work with that team and care about that team that care about fans caring and viewership and ratings and a TV product. know, on a TV station. Mm-hmm. You know, they just can't put this out there every year. That would crush them. I crush ad sales. I crush everything.
Brett in the car has a Bruins thought for us today. Hey, Brett.
Let's go Bruins!
Hey, you know, everybody's killing Halak with the soft goals last night.
Yeah.
You know, and looking at the replay, that one that went under his pads, I'll give you that. That was pretty bad. But the other ones, he was somewhat screened on, right? So
I thought he was screened on the first one. The other ones I thought were all bad.
No, the last one was not bad. The last one was not, the first two goals. You need your goaltender to stop those in the playoffs.
I'm more interested in this, Brett. Why the strong defense of Yaroslav Halak?
Well, because I think that he's really stepped up. And of course, I know that third period is abnormality, right? Normally, you don't get four goals to come back and win. But I think he's strong. And again, Rask, as we all know, it may or may not come back. But I have trust in him. I have faith he can take him to the cup. And related to the cup, I got a question. If they win the cup, does Tuukka and the other guy that opted out, do they get their names on the cup?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that they do. That's a team decision, but I find it very hard to believe that they don't put a player on there who played with the team all regular season long. There's an update on David Pastrnak for tonight.
Oh.
Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Bruins.
What do you have to say?
You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. I'll play it.
Let's do that.
I'll play it for you right now.
Thank you.
You know, no further delay.
All right.
So what's Pastrnak's availability today? And if he's available, who comes out?
He's going to go for a warm-up, feeling much better.
By the way, before we get into much more of this, they didn't have a morning skate today because of the early start.
Okay.
So Cassidy had said like it was going to be difficult to determine any time before a warm-up. Nothing else going on other than the fact that there was no morning skate.
I think he's giving him an answer. We're going to get out there, move around a little bit. He ain't playing.
I don't want to speculate who comes out, Steve, simply because if Pasta doesn't go, then you know it's an unnecessary move. So, you know, obviously, if he's healthy, he's going to go back in with Bergie and Marsh. We'll make adjustments from there. You know, there's a few guys that we've looked at, different scenarios, you know, that we play through always. Like, what if... You know, what if Pasta goes in, unfortunately, does get hurt again? You know, who's the best fit to go up? Where do we go from there? How does our 11 forwards look? Or if there's another injury, et cetera. So we always factor those things in. But right now, let's get him in the lineup first, and then we'll go from there.
Hardy, that feels like we're about 30,000 feet on a plane.
Sounds like your Bill Belichick interviews.
We're circling. we're circling. We've been told by air traffic control.
Right now, let's get him in the lineup first, and then we'll go from there.
Sir, would you like a wet? Would you like a wet washcloth, a hot wet washcloth to dab your
feeling much better?
We need the ding of the seatbelt light. That's popped up from time to time in the Belichick game day interview.
It's an unnecessary move. So, you know, obviously,
ding, ding, ding.
Okay. All right. So. Game time decision today for Pastrnak. It's a 4 o'clock game today.
Yes.
What do you think?
4 p.m.
I think he doesn't play.
I think he doesn't play.
He doesn't play. Why play him? Hardy?
Nope. I mean,
this could be
I'm not saying he's not ready. I'm saying
they're not going to play him.
How does Carolina come back from that?
They're not.
Did you hear Brandon Moore? After the game?
Pummeled in that third period. I mean, just physically, mentally, spiritually. I don't think there's any way they're done.
Brandon Moore's like, you know, what I've tried to do since I've been here and what we'll always try to do is put a team out there that you like, that you want to root for, you know, that plays hard and, you know, I'm probably never going to win. I didn't say we're never going to win, but it's the way it felt. Like he was down.
Carolina does win too. They play the next day too. There's no hockey.
Yeah. They play tomorrow night. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Blades.
Mr.
Hockey.
They're unable to close them out, and they have to play tomorrow, Thursday.
I have to go back to my seat, but I'll continue my thought when we land. I'll meet you at the baggage carousel. We'll
Why am I Milton from the we'll continue from
this. I don't know, but it works.
It works.
It does not. It one
so works.
It 1,000% works.
If you have to pick up Blades, you'll see him. He'll be holding a stapler down there by the baggage claim.
I would like to think that Blades, the mascot, talks like that too, because it doesn't really fit. Oh, big
no, he can't, because that's T-Bone. He can't.
No, but Blades and T-Bone are the same. Come to think of it. You ever seen T-Bone and Blades in a room together?
No point.
Actually, I have.
Do you get a picture with him?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We need to see that.
I took a picture of Blades last year.
We need to see that. There is news in the NFL as it relates to something we wanted to talk about next anyway. There will be no fans at Gillette for the month of September, as it was announced yesterday afternoon. And I think the NFL is about to take their first step to eliminating fans for a period of time, at the very least. I'll tell you the details. New report that just dropped a couple of minutes ago. That is coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, there's no fans at Gillette through September.
Sucks.
You're fired up about it. I know.
I am.
All right, give it to me. What are you fired up about? Tell me.
We can't do it with 16, 20,000 people there and do it the right way.
Let me just tell you this. I'd feel better about going to a football game than I would going into a classroom right now.
Thank you.
That's not to say that shouldn't be happening either. I'm just saying, like, things that are happening
outside in the big building spaced out.
I hate to be that guy because listen, I know that it's easy to complain and bitch and complain and call out politicians or local leaders, whatever you want to do. But if the logic is at this point in time that it is okay, and again, going by the governor.
Yes.
Yes, let's go with him. We don't have a reason to not be going back into some classrooms here.
Right.
Okay. But then there's a reason to not go outdoors?
Right.
And to a football game with limited capacity? I don't know. I just don't know that those things necessarily line up.
And I don't know this, but hear me out here too. Yeah. So I do not know this and did not talk to anybody down there. So if you're not going to have fans inside, from someone I know that goes over there, that has interest over there, that they were told that the lots are going to be open and you're going to have people in there tailgating. And you're going to be able to mull around Patriot Place and all that. So you could go in certain establishments at Patriot Place and walk around the corridors up there and go in a pro shop and do this and do that and count people. But you can't put people in an open air stadium at 20%. At 15% to 20%, it's a head scratcher. What are you going to close the lots? Tell people on game day can't come here.
I'm not surprised by it though.
Nothing surprises me anymore.
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, I sort of thought this. We talked about it the other day. I said, so they're not even going to let us. This was off the air, you and I. I said they're not even going to let us sit on a ramp 70 yards away from the field right now because of capacity concerns. Do we think they're allowing fans in a month? No. You know what I mean? We can't even get onto one of the ramps right now.
Do you know he has this listed as Wrentham is one of the red towns as far as, you know, hot spots?
Yeah.
One case. One. Singular. Uno. Documented. One documented case. Explain that one.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the map. I don't know what that's based on. So anyway, I mentioned that there is a report.
Oh, we're hotspot, but we're going back hybrid. So,
and I think there is going to be a movement here for there to be. Here's what's going to happen. There are going to be localities that say you can't have, you know, the local municipal leaders who say you can't have fans in your stadium, whether it's here in New England or it's in Atlanta.
Kansas City's doing it.
Miami, or it's in any town in the NFL. Seattle, who cares?
Kansas City.
Right, Kansas City. They said they're going to allow some fans in. Adam Schefter put this out just minutes ago.
Okay.
Sources. NFL is now considering a league-wide policy that would enable fan sound to be heard in stadiums.
Wow.
Similar to what you're getting in the NBA right now. And by the way, the NBA's game presentation, they have knocked it out of the park on that thing.
Okay. Except there's a delay sometimes.
There is. But
on the fan reaction. I don't need it. I don't need the fan reaction back there. I'm not saying the NBA game presentation has been bad, but I don't need actual fan reaction in the games.
Can I
NHL
tell you
doesn't have it,
wise,
and it hasn't hurt the NHL
Can
product.
I tell you that it's not about the sound for me? The visual of the fans, like actual people.
10 seconds after the play happens?
Not even in a reaction sense, Hardy. Just like when the game's being played, it looks like there are some fans. It's weird. Like, oh, yeah, there's some faces to it.
I don't care
It's just better than a cardboard cutout.
You mean the Zoom boards?
Don't like it. I sort of like it.
I didn't like it at first. I like it now. I'm with you.
And it's not for the sound, because you're right. There's a delay, and it doesn't
really
matter.
It looks like gray muddy.
To a credit to the NBA and their broadcast partners, including 98.5 The Sports Hub, they have not turned that thing up and gone overboard. You can barely hear the sound.
You know why I don't need it in the NBA? What? There are enough other people in there to where it doesn't look like they're playing in an empty building. Between the bench and the coaches.
Good point.
And there's a few NBA officials, broadcasters, whatever, reporters sitting there. Now, obviously, the reporters in them aren't cheering, but the benches are. They're into it.
Hardy's right.
I don't need anything else.
So 10 feet behind, you can put up that curtain around it and tighten down the shot to where, okay, this is what we're all going to show on TV.
Tighten up.
And I wonder what it looks like from the players. Maybe I should ask Brad this. Like, the other side of the court, is that wide-ass open?
Oh.
So my only thing is, if this happens with the league moving this way, they might say that, hey, 80% of our cities and towns that have NFL teams are not allowing fans in. That's it. No one allows fans until we can all do it.
Isn't that an advantage for teams, though, if you have fans and if it could get raucous?
Yes.
If it's 15,000 Kansas City fans, shouldn't it be a league-wide policy?
I think that might happen.
You're either going to go 20% or nobody's having fans.
I think it's going to be nobody.
Okay.
It might not be the entire season, but it might be that way to start.
I can see Patriots bitching about it. What, you say we can't have fans, but we got to go there at week four and they can have fans? That's not fair.
You mentioned Brad Stevens. We got to ask him what's behind those video boards. Brad Stevens will join us on the line next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
617-779-0985. We'll go back to your calls in just a bit.
Nice.
Right now, we're going out to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. The hotline goes directly to Orlando, the NBA bubble. That is where Celtics head coach Brad Stevens
Think he likes rock and roll?
I don't know. Ask him.
I don't think we can turn
He's
it down.
Here. Hey, Brad.
Hi. Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, coach. How you doing?
Good.
Zell wanted to know if you liked rock and roll. That was going to be the first question of the interview.
No, it wasn't the question. We're having problems with our board back here. That's all.
Okay. I like all genres of music. Some things from each. I'm not saying that I was super pumped up from your intro there. But
you did hear it. You didn't like it.
But yeah. So
okay. You didn't like it. But
It's not my first choice. Let's put it that way. It may be down the road a little.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Stop it, Tom.
Stop, T-Bone. It's not funny.
Hey, Coach, last time we talked to you, you mentioned you brought up conditioning multiple times. The thing that was evident to me at the end of that first playoff game, it seems to me that your team wore them down. It seems like they were gassed. Did you guys feel that as a team when you looked across the court?
That's hard to say. I mean, they went on that run there, cut it to 4-3 in the last minute. So I thought, you know, I thought we played really hard. We didn't play great on the offensive end. I thought we really played with great, like, intentions on the defensive end. And we have to clean some things up for sure if we want to, you know, win again. But I think the you know, overall, I was pleased with our effort, and you know, we've really tried to put a lot of time and thought into making sure our conditioning is good as we headed here, and we ramped up, you know, sometimes at a what you would consider a slow rate for maybe a regular season, but this was all, you know, August 17th was kind of the circled date for us, and so we felt like if we ramped up accordingly, we would be in a good place to play a lot of minutes.
Unfortunately, we're talking about another injury for Gordon Hayward. Were you surprised after finding out how serious the injury was based on how it looked when it happened on the floor? We were all surprised thinking, oh, that doesn't look too bad, rolled his ankle, and now it turns out to be a month. Did that surprise you?
I was not surprised. When he came off, see, I didn't even see it happen, and I actually didn't see it as it went back down the court, and then I didn't know it had happened until Jalen took the foul. I actually asked Jalen what he was doing, and he said, Gordon's back there. And so he was alert to that. I didn't even see it. But when I saw Gordon get helped off, I knew that it was probably significant. He's obviously had a couple of freak things happen since he got to Boston. He had a heck of a run of not having that when he was in Utah. He played a ton of games, but he's not going to lay there and milk it. Like he's pretty tough guy. And so if he's hurt and he's being helped off, it's probably real.
Okay. Danny Ainge was on with our morning show and he said Marcus Smart would probably be the normal guy that would be in, you know, in the starting lineup. Then he quickly backed off and said, no, wait a minute. That's not my decision to make. Would Marcus Smart get the start now?
I don't know. We'll have to find out at 6:30. I have to put that in at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, he's obviously going to play a lot of minutes. We've got four guys that are going to play a ton of minutes, and we've got a bunch of other guys that might play, you know, based on matchups and everything else. It'll be a lot like the other day. It's a little bit unique. We have a unique team, I think, from the standpoint of like a playoff. Usually you go in with seven or eight kind of in your rotation, but with the problems Embiid can give you, you got to throw a ton of bodies at him. And Horford at the five is a uniqueness that you got to throw different bodies at. And now we're going to have to lean on at least, you know, another wing or two to play a couple of minutes, you know, around our, you know, four guys that are going to play a ton.
Beadle, I just wanted to ask a quick follow-up on your behalf regarding the Gordon Hayward injury. Did you want to ask Brad if he feels lucky like you asked him last year?
But you got to bring that up again.
No, but remember, Beadle asked Brad Stevens if maybe he felt lucky about the timing of Gordon Hayward's injury last November.
About the amount of time he was going to.
Yeah, did you want to try that one again?
No, I'm not trying that again.
It went so well the first time.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right. Go ahead. Go ahead with your question.
Did I have a poor reaction to that one?
Yeah,
you laughed at him.
Stupid.
You very politely basically call me an idiot, but it's fine. That's fine. That's what I mean. I take that every day.
I know I didn't call you an idiot.
No, no, you didn't. You didn't use
sure,
it.
I know that.
No, you didn't say that. It was.
But I probably did roll my eyes because you can't see me.
Yes, the tone of it was, oh, you idiot, Beadle. Oh, you idiot. No, so I'm not going to follow up with that one. And to your point about Gordon Hayward's toughness, we were commenting on it yesterday because he went down and he popped right back up and he was not looking for help to get off the floor, and then he eventually accepted it. So, you know, we thought...
Right when I saw that, and then I saw it after the game, it had already swollen pretty good. I knew it was, you know, obviously we were happy that it wasn't broken, but you got x-rayed right after the game, but you knew it was a significant sprain, and a significant sprain can take a while. And so, you know, right from the minute I saw him walk off, I started thinking about the whole series, you know, without him. And I just think that's the way you have to approach it. And it's no fun for him. I think one of the, you know, about our whole year, we prepared with, you know, usually had one of our top five guys out almost throughout the entire season. And then we go through the whole bubble practice and the seeding games, and we're pretty healthy. Like, we were and in good shape. So, but this is part of it. You know, we've been here before, and we're going to have other guys step up. And I think they can do that by committee. Nobody has to do what he does, but we need Smart to, you know, play in some of those pick and rolls that Gordon plays in us, where he can stabilize us and read what's going on and make the next right play. And then we need the other guys to come off the bench to get a couple buckets off his cuts, get a couple buckets off the, you know, the kickouts and those type of things. And then it adds up by committee. Nobody's going to replace it in one, and there's no expectation that that'll be the case.
You coach a lot of games here with Tatum and Brown collectively together, but to have that type of youth in a playoff game, both go over for 25, and it just seemed Jason couldn't hit, you couldn't miss anything that he was putting up throughout the early, especially the early part of that game. But is that one of the better responses that you've gotten from those two guys in a meaningful game, meaning a playoff game, in combination?
The greatest. I think that they've done this their whole time. And, you know, obviously maybe they had playoff highs or whatever, but these guys have performed in the biggest stages under the brightest lights since they came into the league. And, you know, part of what comes with that is the additional scrutiny and the, you know, you almost forget how good they are in those moments because it's so, you know, they've played in all those. Very few 22 and 23-year-olds have played in these meaningful games and had the roles in these meaningful games that these two guys have had. And so I've got a great deal of respect for how they've always played, but their commitment to getting better and their competitiveness, you know, probably is a little bit under discussed. Like, these guys are workers and they're extremely competitive. You know, I think that that's one of the things that stands out. You know, they don't get bored with the competition of the game. You know, that's a big reason why they're out on the floor. And for them to do what they've done is impressive, but we're going to just keep leaning on them, you know, because obviously we're going to need to.
How about their commitment to playing defense? Because this can't be said for all of the young stars in the league.
Right.
They don't all commit to playing defense. These players do. And Tatum, the other day, I know you commented on it already, but you don't get that out of every young, great player in this league.
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, you know, a lot of the guys that get drafted so high get drafted into positions where they may not be playing meaningful games at the end of the year or meaningful games in the playoffs. We were fortunate in our scenario that we had somebody else's picks and we had a pretty good team. And so you were able to, like, you know, we talk a lot about development. Development's not just minutes in a game. It's the type of game, how hard it is, what the expectations of every possession are. If your expectation on every possession is you have to win the next possession because it might be the difference in the game, then you got to play both ends and you got to play it hard. You got to play it well. And so those guys, they've always been committed to that. They were both a little bit better than I thought when we drafted them once they got here, and then they've continuously improved. I thought that Marcus Smart's contagiousness is probably a big part of that. You know, Marcus was 0-for-5 on Monday, and I walked out with him to the bus and I said, Marcus, you played unreal. And when you really go back and watch his defensive possessions, he got his hands on so many balls. He was like a teaching tape that you would show young players about how to help appropriately but also get back. And, you know, I think our guys benefit from his leadership by example. And you know, like, everybody's going to hold each other accountable if you have that. We need to keep doing it. Like, this is, you know, we can't leave our bigs on an island right now. Nobody's going to guard Embiid by himself. You know, we can't guard Horford by ourselves in a lot of these matchups. We gotta really help each other, and we gotta all take responsibility in making every possession tough. And so, we can't just put that on one or two guys. That's got to be five guys on every possession.
All right, Coach. Last one for you here, quickly. Up here was training camp going on with football. The story was Coach Belichick talked to your team. Now, I know you can't be there in person and you got to do it through the Zoom and that, but what was the message and how well was that received from your team as you guys started the playoffs?
It was great. As you can imagine, I mean, I feel bad that we said something about it. It was funny. I never really said anything not to, but I was thinking about, like, it was really special to have him join us and, you know, to have him spend 10 minutes or 15 minutes with the guys. And I asked everybody, what they took away from it. And, you know, they were all a little bit different, you know, from the stories or the message, but then they all brought it back to the same message, which you guys could probably guess. And I think that what's special about Coach is not only his ability to coach, his ability to get a team ready, ability to like gauge the time of the year and what needs to be done and how to get people to where they need to be, but his level of preparedness and his willingness to like, he's a competitor, like the way that he talks about competing and the way that he, you know, requires everybody to be locked into that is pretty special. And I thought our guys, they really appreciated his time. He's been really good to us. Fortunate to have a great relationship with all of the coaches and all of the organizations in Boston. I think that's one of the most special parts about being in a professional sports in Boston.
All right, Coach. Good luck tonight. We'll be talking to you soon.
All right, guys. Be well.
See you, Coach.
Good luck. Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Celtics getting ready for game two tonight, 6:30 start time.
He didn't like Tom's pick for a rock and roll intro.
No. I think you got to give him. I
he threw the old
I
genre thing
through
in there.
The grapevine,
but, yeah.
That he enjoys a good country tune every now and again.
Oh, there's a little hick
like,
in him?
Like modern really? Pop country tune.
Golly gee, really?
Yeah.
Can we like split the difference? Maybe go John Mellencamp, you know, Indiana.
What about?
Got a little twang to it.
No, I like that. Yep.
What about Hootie? Beers and Sunshine. I bet he's a Beers and Sunshine guy.
No, not Beers and Sunshine.
Well, that's country fun pop.
Nope.
Taylor Swift, maybe?
No.
Nope. Old Taylor Swift, I'm talking.
Yeah. OG. OGT.
Florida Georgia Line.
Right, something like that.
Something like that.
This is how we roll.
This is how we roll. This is how we do.
Let's get to headlines with Hardy. We're right back. No commercials. Let's talk Tuukka Rask. Let's talk Bruins.
Yeah.
And everything else that we've had today. Red Sox and Patriots items as well. Celtics tonight. It's all in the mix here. Where was Tuukka yesterday? That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.